right, we continue, and glad to have you along tonight. There is so much to this whole genocidal campaign. The think of the publicity angle through the mainstream media, how they picked up that fear violin and just played it perfectly, panicked everyone into taking these shots, not one, not two, but three and more. And they got their way. It was laughably easy when you think about it. And how many of the people getting the shots were really adequately informed about what they were doing? Virtually zero. Because they weren't talking about what the shots really were and how they worked. And people to this day are continually saying that it's a, don't worry, it's an experimental. No, it's not. It has absolutely nothing to do with experimentation at all. It's a deployed weapon. It's like taking a 12-gauge shotgun out there and saying, well, this is a test fire to see if it'll work, and blowing a hole in the barn. It's deployed. It's a 12-gauge. It's violent. It wreaks enormous damage. This shot was absolutely understood and planned and built to do what it's doing, which is annihilating people. Slowly, quickly, in a medium way. The fuses are all different. But the number of ways that this injection can kill people is off the scale. This thing is so damn diabolical. It's honest to God, it's unbelievable. Okay, we have a lot going on. Erica's standing by. Are you there?
I'm here, Jeff.
Welcome
back.
Happy
Friday.
Yeah. Now, there's an angle here that I don't know where you found this, but it's really very interesting, and I want to start with this tonight. It's entitled John Calhoun's Universe 25 Experiment, 15-Minute Cities Explained, The End Nears. Most of you have heard about the 15-Minute City, all right? Well, that's another way to basically put us in a large hamster cage and watch what happens. Well, they already know what's going to happen. John Calhoun figured out what was going to happen a long time ago. I'm going to read this to you in just a couple minutes. Tell us more about this Calhoun thing. Where did you find this, by the way?
This was on Facebook. Someone was circulating it, called Anti-Establishment. Not sure who it is, but anyway, it's very apropos given the current situation. And it talks about this John Calhoun, American scientist, who did a study with mice where he built them a paradise. He had a colony of mice, and they were all happy and healthy and had everything they needed. And they were allowed to reproduce at will, which they did. And but when they reached a certain limit, you began to see changes in behavior to the point where the entire colony of mice eventually became dysfunctional and essentially did themselves in. And he repeated this experiment, I think, 25 more times. And every single time he hit a specific number, I think it was 300 mice in this small area. It wasn't small to start with, but it became overcrowded. The same identical thing would happen. 600, okay. But it's
He did it 25
more times. So it was a rather predictable outcome. You know, once it hit a certain number.
All right, 15-minute cities. What should we mention about that? It's again isolating people in a perfect environment where they'll be able to find everything they need within 15 minutes, right? They won't even need a
walk,
car.
Yeah, literally walk everywhere within 15 That's minutes. Right. You won't need a car. All your needs will be met.
All questions answered, all needs met. All right, let's walk through this Calhoun thing. It's just a few paragraphs, but it's very interesting. The Universe 25, that's the name of it. Universe 25. The Universe 25 experiment is one of the most terrifying experiments in the history of science, which, through the behavior of a colony of mice, is an attempt by scientists to explain human societies. The idea of Universe 25 came from the American scientist John Calhoun, who created an ideal world in which hundreds of mice would live and reproduce. An ideal world, a utopia for them. More specifically, Calhoun built the so-called Paradise of Mice, a specifically designed space where rodents had abundance of food and water, as well as a large living space. He did it all. In the beginning, he placed 4 pair of mice that in a short time began to reproduce, resulting in their population growing rapidly. However, after 315 days, their reproduction began to decrease significantly. Now, this happened 25 times after 315 days. There's a cutoff there. When the number of rodents reached 600, a hierarchy was formed between them. And then the so-called wretches appeared. Wretch, W-R-E-T-C-H, wretches. And then the so-called wretches appeared. The larger rodents began to attack the group, with the result that many males began to collapse psychologically. They had breakdowns. They just lost their identity and gave up. As a result, the females did not protect themselves and in turn became aggressive toward their own young. As time went on, the females showed more and more aggressive behavior. Isolation elements and lack of reproductive mood, it all went. There was a low birth rate and, at the same time, an increase in mortality in younger rodents. An increase in mortality in younger rodents. Then a new class of male rodents appeared, the so-called beautiful mice. Beautiful mice. They refused to mate with the females or to fight for their space. They had no idea of territoriality. They didn't know how to defend anything. They wouldn't reproduce or mate. And they were called the beautiful mice by Calhoun. Okay. All they cared about was food and sleep. At one point, beautiful males and isolated females made up the majority of the entire population. According to Calhoun, the death phase consisted of 2 stages, the first death and second death. The former, the first death, was characterized by the loss of purpose in life beyond mere existence. Nothing else beyond food and sleep mattered. No desire to mate, no desire to raise young or establish a role within society. As time went on, juvenile mortality reached 100% and reproduction reached zero. Among the endangered mice, homosexuality was observed, and at the same time, cannibalism increased, despite the fact that there was plenty of food. 2 years after the start of the experiment, the last baby of the colony was born. By 1973, he had killed the last mouse in Universe 25. John Calhoun repeated the same experiment 25 more times in succession, and each time the result was exactly the same. Calhoun's scientific work has been used as a model for interpreting social collapse, and his research serves as a focal point for the study of urban sociology. We are currently witnessing direct parallels to Calhoun's Universe 25 in today's society. Weak and otherwise directionless people, feminized men with little to no skills and no protection instincts, and overly agitated and aggressive females with no maternal instincts. Pretty damned interesting. All in a mammalian colony. If you don't see parallels in that, you're not wanting to.
Yeah, it's really stunning.
Universe 25. And if you think that the controllers aren't fully aware of this, and in fact utilizing it already, you're missing the point of the 15-minute city. Give people everything they need, and this is what's going to happen. No more need to get out there and make a buck, learn a career, get an education, for whatever that's worth anymore. It's all going where this Calhoun showed it would go.
No, it's like it implodes on itself.
Right. So this, just to give you an idea of what they are using against all of us, around the world, wherever you are, whatever country you're in, the same rules apply. We are the mice. And however many of us are not killed off with the biological weapon that has been injected and the extension of the injection, which we call shedding, we'll be in the 15-minute cities, and we'll go the way of the mice. Pretty
no
clever.
No kidding. Yeah.
Well, I hope that gave you pause for concern. If you look in Guest, you can find that. I put it under our names in Guest. It'll also be in news headlines going up shortly. So it's there for you. You can share it. I'd keep a copy of it and just refer back to it occasionally and read it and understand where this is going. The people that are planning this are absolutely in utter control, total control. Does that mean we quit and give up? No, no, no. But if the oldest expression that is critically important now is know thy enemy. If you don't know your enemy, you're done. You don't have a chance in hell, none. And I'm afraid that most people don't know their enemy. They think their friends are on TV. They think their friends are CNBC and MSNBC and CNN and Fox. And yes, I put Fox in that group. Not necessarily Tucker. But the rest of it, look who owns it. Come on, they're throwing us a bone. And all the media, all the stations, all the outlets, all the platforms. How many do they give us who care about this country and what we used to have? One. And among that one, Fox News, we have one program. Well, he's on a couple programs. He's got a daytime thing. You get the idea. They're throwing us a bone. That's all we get. A bone. So just be aware. People who stare at that screen and think they're being informed are being led down the primrose path and up the ramp to the slaughterhouse. That's where it goes. Okay, time for some COVID chronicles. We're going to do this. We could play videos, but we want to do the human aspect of this to show you what's happening out there, because you'll never hear this anywhere else. You won't hear this even on Fox. Nothing. All right, where shall we start?
Well, we could bring up these DNA plasmids again that have been found in both the Pfizer and Moderna vials. And the relevance or significance of that finding, insofar as, that they are presumed to be contaminants, although they're found consistently. So that does make you wonder, are they really there by accident or carelessness, or were they put there? And a case could be made that, given that this is a bioweapon, has nothing to do with protecting anybody from anything, plasmids can be uptaken by bacteria that live in a host's body and genetically modify them to the point where the bacteria that should be protecting you, serving you, is now turned against you and is producing toxins that can kill you. And this is a defined and described method of biowarfare. And I have a couple paragraphs here from a handbook on biodefense in the age of synthetic biology that describes it. And I would argue
that's in Guess. That's also up there under Guess.
I think that that's exactly what we're seeing. I think there's a huge bacterial component to this that's being overlooked. It's not just the spike protein people are being exposed to. There is something, obviously, the plasmids and the injections that has the ability to modify people's bacteria, whether it's on their skin or in their oral mucosa, nasal mucosa, or the gut. And once it's modified, when these genes come in, they can be passed around through horizontal genetic transfer. So the bacteria can infect each other, or share this gene so that at some point, perhaps all of the bacteria in your microbiome will have acquired this gene, and what it does in each particular bacteria is a wild card. But in the case of this E. coli that is contaminating the vaccines along with the plasmids, it codes for mRNA to produce a spike protein, a toxic spike protein. So even if a person's body or cells manages to reject or overcome the mRNA that's been injected, they also may have to contend with the mRNA that's being produced internally.
Constantly,
and that may go on forever.
Incessantly. And when the E. coli began to produce the mRNA, that's the instruction set that goes into your body's cells and orders your cells to produce spike. You're toast. You have an endless supply of instructions, endless supply of instructions being made by your own corrupted E. coli bacteria that the plasmids have entered and taken over.
Right. And there was some speculation from Dr. Sabine Hazen, the gastroenterologist there, that was looking at the gut microbiomes of people who have been vaxxed and noting that they're being depleted of their bifidobacteria, which that's a species of bacteria that's absolutely critical in preventing infection and synthesizing vitamins. I mean, it's a mainstay of a healthy gut microbiome, and not having any puts you at grave risk of opportunistic infections and other pathogens that want to take up residence in the gut, and I would argue that this E. coli may be one of them.
If you look at it, just pull back a little bit and look at the injections, and by extension, shedding. But let's just stay with the injections. You have mRNA, goes into the body, sets up in your cells, produces spike. Huge numbers, trillions of spike proteins that go every single place your circulatory system goes and begins to set up shop. Think about it. Now, we used to talk about early on, well, how long will this mRNA persist in the body? How long will the body continue to manufacture spike? And we guess, you know, a year or two, who knows? Well, now we know that that question is moot. It's not even on the table because we've discovered these plasmids, which are covered and protected in the injection to get into the body and find their favored bacteria, which apparently is to a large degree E. coli, and set up business in the E. coli, manufacturing the actual mRNA instructions that will be turned loose to go all over the body and set up again anew an endless circle of proteins called spike proteins that will kill you, mRNA instructions being made by your bacteria, and your body's cells that have been taken over by the mRNA instructions and are now spike factories. It's a triad of death, and it's all clear now. And there may be more that we haven't been able to find out yet, but so far, what I've just described is a one-way ticket out of here sooner than you otherwise would have gone. We're all going there somewhere, somehow, someday, but this is hastening the death. We don't know how many people have died prematurely. They're giving some figure out now, I think, 2 million worldwide. Forget it. Multiply that by 100 and you might be close. I don't know. It's huge. And it's getting worse. And this is the year of dying, this year and next year. Because these people have taken the shots a year to 2 years ago now. It's beginning to manifest. People are reporting more and more issues, health issues. And doctors are prescribing more and more tests, and the tests are finding out more and more that these people have been damaged, and the damages are not resolving. They're getting worse. It's not a good situation, and you cannot just take pine needle tea and detox from this. It's a genetic issue. It doesn't detox. So,
well,
not
now
good.
It's you know, the microbiome is not to be underestimated in this. You know, whatever's living in there is producing. Well, it can produce all kinds of things. When it's healthy, it's a symbiotic relationship. It's helping you digest your food. It's producing vitamins. It's protecting you from opportunistic infections. It's modulating inflammation.
Yeah,
I don't see how anybody that can, you know, not address that issue. And I think that's one reason.
Right.
The shedding may be so bad in some people that they may be so severely affected, more so than others. There are probably differences in the microbiome, and whatever bacterial species that are in there that are being affected by the spike, they're obviously producing some kind of very, very noxious chemicals that's making the person very, very sick. And let's not forget that these bacteria communicate through quorum sensing. So, you know, there's a whole other level of communication there that's probably entering into this. They are known, the E. coli is known to increase its replication rate in the presence of EMFs. Same with that Carini bacteria. Maybe true of many, many species of bacteria. They just tend to replicate infinitely faster in the presence of these non-native electromagnetic frequencies.
The microbiome has been taken over and is now a command and control center. We didn't know this before, but it is compromised. And
well, we had some idea. In COVID, the microbiome was affected in many, many people.
Well, the complaints about stomach and digestive problems were endless, so you bet. Why don't you go ahead and read your Modifying the Human Microbiome. Maybe that'll help.
All right. This is as I said, an example from the handbook of biowarfare. Human health is highly dependent upon the human microbiome, the microorganisms that live on and within us, especially those associated with the gut, oral cavity, nasopharyngeal space, and skin. These populations of microbes are likely far easier to manipulate than the human host itself, making the microbiome a potentially accessible vector for attack. The human microbiome is the focus of a great deal of academic and commercial research, and microbiome manipulation is an area that is rapidly developing, as also discussed in Chapter 5. Several possible ways the microbiome could be manipulated to cause harm were considered. These possibilities were analyzed in aggregate to determine the level of concern warranted. Now, this was written in 2018. Delivery of harmful cargo via the microbiome. As discussed in Chapter 5, the engineering of microorganisms to produce hazardous chemicals or biochemicals, including toxins, poses a medium to high level of concern, and the potential for making chemicals or biochemicals in situ via the microbiome warrants a high level of concern. The microbiome could be used as a vector for other types of harmful cargoes as well. For example, microbes could be modified to produce functional small RNAs, as in microRNAs, that could be transferred to the host via the gut or skin microbiome to cause a variety of health impacts. Microbes could also potentially be engineered to horizontally transfer a genetic cargo to the native microbiome to, for example, cause a host's own well-established microbes to produce a harmful biochemical. In such a scenario, the harmful agent would be manufactured by organisms in the established microbiome, so the engineered microbe would need to infiltrate and persist within the microbiome only long enough to transfer its cargo to a sufficient number of native microbes. Thus, this approach would circumvent the challenges associated with establishing engineered microbes in otherwise occupied niches. There are many known instances of natural horizontal transfer events that result in the production of toxins. It may be possible to harm a population by enhancing the spread of vectors or phage, that's viruses targeting bacteria, carrying such genetic cargoes. Synthetic biology methods could advance such a capability, for example, through the engineering of toxin/antitoxin couples that would help ensure retention of plasmids. It is also conceivable that microbes could one day be engineered to horizontally transfer genes directly to human cells.
So there we go. There's your command and control center, your own microbiome.
And I, as I said, I don't think that the discovery of these plasmids in these vials is an accident or coincidence.
No. It's part of the plan. Diabolical. Unbelievably complex and sophisticated and not to be denied. It just isn't. They've been on what you just heard read has been, again, like the Calhoun thing. This is the kind of mentality that was at work creating these injections. And they used simple Freudian psychology to frighten people, Pavlovian, Annie, you name it, into taking these shots. Remember how we saw videos of cars lined up for blocks and blocks, people just waiting to stick their arm out the window, and they were so afraid.
Yeah.
They were driving to other states to get shots and because they were afraid to wait. How really obscenely embarrassing. No thinking, no questioning, obedience and servitude. That's what we saw. Mice. Mice in cars.
Yeah, I was shocked. I never would have imagined. And it was stated up front that there would be, you know, this was experimental. There would be no liability.
It was all a lie. It was a perfectly completed biological weapon owned by the Pentagon and the Department of Defense that was deployed worldwide and most specifically among Americans. So we don't know the number who took the injection. We've got 83% is the most current figure we have, but that leaves 17%. And then the issue of shedding, which we have spent 2 years on trying to explain how critically important it is for you to be aware when you're out who not to mix and mingle with. The vaxxed. But how do you know who's vaxxed? You don't know. So you literally are forced to self-isolate to a significant degree. And however far you want to take it, you can take it. But that's the truth. And for our let me finish this one little part. For our vaxxed friends out there, all of you, virtually, as far as we know, have AIDS or VAIDS, vaccine-induced AIDS. So your immunological competence is way low, and you don't want to be around the unvaxxed because they're carrying normal microbes, which they'll be only too happy to spread, as has been the case for, half a million years, a million years? I don't know. So both sides of the aisle must be aware and cognizant of the dangers that they face through shedding of microbes or shedding of the mRNA and the spike, and maybe other things we don't even know about. So we care about everyone, and we always have. So you must be aware that this world will never be the same. Never. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say that I think we have strong evidence here that there's a bacteria that's being spread, some sort of genetically modified bacteria that's capable of not necessarily producing spike, but it upon exposure to the spike is induced to produce a type of toxin. And, you know, that's similar to how diphtheria works. Which infects was produced by the Carini bacteria, and it produces a toxin when it becomes infected with a certain type of phage, and the response of the bacteria is to produce the diphtheria toxoid. So that may be what's happening. When bacteria become exposed to the spike, some bacteria could be producing a certain type of toxin. And that was shown by the Italians that there were many species of bacteria in the gut where if it was exposed to the SARS-CoV-2 virus, these bacteria were producing various types of toxins in the venom class. And those can enter the bloodstream and affect, you know, the blood components in the blood or nerve tissue in some cases.
Well, just
but
remember,
at the very least, there's yeah. clearly a bacterial component to this.
Right. Well, you've said that from the beginning. We would suggest, we don't have a supermarket, we don't push supplements, we certainly have made a few recommendations, but we do think that Allicin C is a very good thing to take because it does tend to limit pathological bacteria. It's a remarkable product. That, and go ahead, what else would we recommend?
Well, I would take note of the fact that, this bifidobacteria really seems to be taking a hit. And if you could shore up that by either taking a probiotic for bifidobacteria and then feeding it, selectively feeding it with some of these oligosaccharides like FOS, fructooligosaccharides, and then there's XOS, xylooligosaccharides. Xylooligosaccharides actually works quite well. You don't need anywhere near as much of the XOS as you do the FOS to feed the bifido. But a lot of the digestive resistant starches will selectively feed the good bacteria. And what you're trying to do is, you know, feed them and then crowd out the bad ones. You don't want this E. coli getting in there and adhering to your intestine and taking up residence. Is that going to be enough? I don't know.
There are many different types of E. coli, and
most of them are harmless.
It's not possible to go in there and just grab the bad guy. It's very difficult to do that. So you want to, what she's saying is you want to build up the population of the bifido, the good ones, and try to crowd out the bad guys. And that's a pretty smart way to try it. So if you look XOS, probably Amazon, just XOS or FOS.
Yeah, there's XOS. Larch, arabinogalactin. Some of the medicinal mushrooms, they also contain polysaccharides.
Right.
But just look up prebiotics. Prebiotics are typically fibers that will selectively feed the good bacteria. I know that one of the smells may be coming from this lack of bifido because people are starting to have high levels of something called TMAO, which will, if when it builds up in the body, it gives them a fishy smell. It's renowned for causing a fishy smell. And it usually happens in people that are, they don't have a certain enzyme that will metabolize choline, but it can also happen when you're depleted of bifidobacteria.
Okay. The other sponsors that are on the site, BioSuperfood, is phenomenally important. It has over 15,000 different nutrients in it, many of which you'll never see in a normal American diet because it's destroyed. So BioSuperfood, Carnivora is another one that has certainly a role in balancing bacterial contamination in the body and fighting irregularly dividing cells, shall we say. That's another really important one. They're all good. Everything I have up on that site is important and should be taken. So there we go. Okay, hopefully you listen to this program again and understand that war has been declared on humankind, and they're not taking any prisoners. It's not a joke, and I wish it were. It's not. So you don't want the spike protein at all in your body because it starts to destroy the endothelial cells inside your veins and arteries and even capillaries. So and when that happens, you're in trouble. In trouble.
Yeah, I know Arnie Burkhart mentioned this. These stringy things that are appearing in people's blood that and people with these high school microscopes are saying is graphene. Those are actually amyloids. Those are amyloid fibrils, and they were determined to be sloughing of the endothelial lining They are amyloids. They stain positive for amyloid. But according to Arne Burkhardt, there was 137 proteins in these things that were of endothelial origin. So the endothelium, the lining of the blood vessels, is so severely damaged from the spike and the ensuing inflammation that it just degrades and sloughs off and aggregates into these fibrils.
All right. That's a lot of important things, but a lot of technical angles, too. Just okay. Listen to the program a second time and take notes, whatever you need to. Okay, let's go and look at some of our human cases.
Ready when you are.
Well, we got all these shedding stories from the March 29th group. We got down to number 6, I think, is next. Shedding disease. We got 3 more disease. Then there's doubter, 5 or 6 of those. And so shedding disease number 6,
okay.
I think, is ready. Go ahead with that.
Thank you for coming on here. I was in menopause, and I did not have a period for 2 years. When I went back to work, and I'm a hairstylist, over 80% of my clients got vaccinated. I am unvaccinated. Within 6 months, I was having periods again. Very interesting color, but still, I'm in menopause. Doctors shake their heads at me and don't know why it's happening, and I leave their office with them head scratching. In fact, my body acts like it's going to ovulate. However, it does not. And I definitely know there's something really strange going on since all those people got vaccinated and all these things that have been happening to me ever since. I've also had COVID twice, and I took a blood test a year ago after having COVID prior, and I still have the antibodies. However, I also struggle with a lot of different issues from having COVID. I have nerve issues, pains that I've never had before, exhaustion. It's definitely a bioweapon, whether in the vaccine or shedding, to the unvaccinated.
Okay. The next one, I don't know if this is continuing in that thread or not. I hope these kinds of studies will be done and that we'll actually get honest results from them, not silenced by pharma industries if the results could disrupt their own narratives and profits. Anecdotal, but my personal experience, unvaxxed, 43 years old, I can't say that my menstrual cycle has changed, but whenever I'm around vaxxed people, and this is even usually only outdoors, or with me being FFP2, N95 masked, so she's got a mask on, I almost always feel slightly sick for 1 or 2 days afterwards. That can include a runny nose, sneezing, slight sore throat, or slight cough, sometimes joint pains, or a wee bit raised temperature, or all of this together, and then it's gone again. So far, I haven't had COVID at all, and due to me isolating myself so much, I've also not had the normal flu or anything. Just each time, these mild flu-like symptoms for a day or two after being around the vaxxed. And then they're gone. First, I thought I'm managing it, or maybe it's indeed psychosomatic. But reading comments on videos like these, so many people seem to have similar experiences. Or maybe I've just become allergic to humans in general. After all, we all carry around enough germs, and my body might not be used to them anymore at all. But then, why does this not happen on the occasions I meet a rare unvaccinated person? In those cases, I'm totally fine afterwards. There's more evidence for shedding there, obviously. Someone asks, do you experience any of these symptoms when you meet someone who is naturally affected? And the answer to that is, can't be entirely sure, to be honest. I pretty much don't hang out with anyone anymore since the beginning of the pandemic. So what I've described mostly happens after trips to grocery stores or when having to visit an office. Just being in spaces with lots of people, majority is, of course, vaxxed and or will have had an infection at some point, and when seeing my vaxxed mother or uncle. They both have not been naturally infected so far. as far as she knows. After being close to them, I get these symptoms, too. I know only very few unvaxxed people who live close enough for me to meet. And as far as I know, they haven't had the virus, especially not when we hung out. So people are just stumbling through this. They have no answers.
No answers.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, last one in this thread. Three instances of bad spiking, and now ovaries post-menopause are acting up. Each instance of spiking has taken approximately 4 to 5 days for my body to return to normal energy levels, and that was with taking alternative meds. By normal energy, I mean it was like what people describe with chronic fatigue, energy zapped from one's body. My experience has been that the spiking increases when the person has a mobile phone turned on and it becomes active in one instance. Prior to this, I was not having any symptoms around the person. Maybe it was building up. Who knows? And this was in a rural setting. Another instance was when three people were around me within a small building area, approximately 3 meters by 6 meters. The area we were in was 3 meters by 3 meters, standing at a small counter. The counter was tightening of the chest that felt like something was pushing from all sides, crushing the ribs and chest, then dry coughing to dry reaching feeling like vomiting, a massive headache up at the back of the neck and head. All of this happened within a matter of 5 seconds. I had to get out of there real fast, and it took half an hour for all the symptoms to go away. As to the Wi-Fi and EMF levels in that building, it's hard to say, not going back with a meter to test it. The building was one of those safe dongas. Safe? The building was one of those
dongas.
Site dongas. I get the feeling that it is literally via bioresonance of the being. The energy fields emitted by the human, we also emit frequencies, not just electricity. Do some devices increase this? Some of us have been using air ionizers on our bodies when out and about, and this has been helping, changing the ion charge around us. There's not enough study info into the bioresonance of a human or animal. It is as though they have literally weaponized people with the juicing they partook in. Not only that, we have had a massive increase in pets and some livestock, which are handled all the time, and the owners are jabbed, having mystery illnesses and sickness. Of particular note is animals getting what they call immune-mediated hemolytic anemia, and the cases are going through the roof. Also, a lot of animals aborting and fetuses not going to full term. We notice the anemia in livestock as we use things like the FAMACHA score of the eyelids to determine if they are anemic, and then commence treatment once doing fecal worm counts. Some dog breeders are no longer breeding due to this shedding. It is real, and selling puppies to new owners and the puppy gets sick, usually dies, gives the breeder a bad name. Others have had spiky people come near their stud dogs, and one has had two become infertile. That is not good for prize stud male dogs. For some, it's easier to no longer breed these days and isolate their animals from the spiky public. Health status, I'm not juiced, no PCR or anything like that. Never got what they call COVID. No pharma meds, no vax during my lifetime, besides one shot of tetanus as a child in 1975. I live with zero Wi-Fi and cell signal of approximately 1 to 2 bars outside buildings. Rural living.
That's a rare person. No vax history to speak of, even as a child. One shot of tetanus. Huh, interesting. Well, there's more bad news about pets there and breeding. Not happy news. No. Okay. There's still a lot of doubt about shedding. It's called denial, and that's one of the big fallbacks of the human mind. They just deny it. We've got a few stories about that now. Let's see where we go with this. Go ahead and start off this section here.
All right. Somebody says, these protein spikes are a real monster. You can never get rid of them, and you will spread them around for the rest of your life. That is just how it is. And yes, many, many things can help, a little NAC, zinc, etc., but it does not help with the spikes. Sorry to be the messenger of bad news. Only CDS can help, and you will still be in need of, and you will still need to be on it for the rest of your life.
Wow. Oh, we should mention in that last one, there was a little reference to ion generators. We have a wonderful one on the homepage, and you look at it, you'll see it's right above headlines. It's a white one. It looks small. It is small, and it's only $120 or $30, I think, which is a lot if you don't have it, but if you can afford it, it's a very good thing to wear. We wear them all the time.
Yeah, everybody that has gotten one of these that has been sensitive to shedding has reported vastly diminished symptoms when they use it.
Right. Okay, onward with this section. These protein spikes are a real monster, as Erica just read. You can never get rid of them, and you'll spread them around. Rubbish, says the person. Guests in the house, vaxxed, and now I have a sore throat and a headache. All right, I'm sure the elite are loving the fact we are all hiding away, very similar to the vaxxed hiding from COVID. I'm sure the elite are laughing. Okay, the next one to that says, not the same because ours is actually valid. There were literally billions of dollars spent on propaganda to make people be afraid of the common cold, enough so that people would inject themselves with the real spreadable bioweapon. People around these people literally are getting sick. We're just trying to find answers in groups like this. Response to that, then the protein spike is airborne. So I stand my ground for saying hiding away will not work. Building up our immune system is the only way. I wish she was right. I do not avoid the vaxxed. I'm not jabbed myself and have had no bad effects, nor do my three kids and three grandkids, all in the environment of jabbed people every day. So here's denial. Again, doubters. And it's fine to doubt, but get your facts straight.
Well, I mean, at this point, you know, we're talking about a protein. And, you know, there's no immunity to this protein. That's the problem. It's toxic. And if you do happen to make antibodies against this spike protein, which is coming off the vax, which was from the original Wuhan strain, which is no longer around, you will have antibodies, but it won't protect you from the current variant. So you'll have what they call binding antibodies. You'll invite the virus into your body, but they won't be enough to neutralize it. And that's what we call antibody-dependent enhancement.
Okay, go ahead. There's just two more.
All right. Another person says, I appreciate your comments, and I do agree with building up the immune system, but some of us literally go down from shedding. It is like getting a toxic chemical into your system, and the result is really difficult to bear. Believe me, we have tried on a daily basis to say it will not harm us, that we will just be fine, only to experience again the devastation. Finally, we end up being quite careful to avoid crowds and not stay too long in public buildings and basically hold your breath when you go into the post office to grab the mail. While I totally agree with building the immune system and absolutely in eating nutritionally, the only truly effective answer I have found after 2 years of intense difficulties with the shedding is to pull it out with a good quality ion foot bath. That is it.
All right, just one more there. I didn't really believe the shedding thing until I experienced it myself last Christmas. Around six other family members all jabbed the very next day I started bleeding 2 weeks early and didn't stop bleeding for weeks after. This is not normal for me. So there you go. All right, the argument about shedding will continue, obviously. There will always be people who say, nope, I'm fine, I'm out and about, and I'm not sick. But are they sick? Many times they may feel fine, but one day they're going to wake up and say, something's wrong here, and they'll be off to the testing circus.
Right.
And we'll see what happens. It's It's pretty crazy out there. In fact, it's real crazy. But holding your breath when you go into the post office, don't laugh. I'll bet there are a lot of people who do that, or they certainly, like we do, wear a mask. Wear the ion generator and get a mask and use it. And you'll at least be bending some help your way. And that's what you have to do. This is not something you can detox. You can't. Not that kind of a problem. Once you've got it, you've got it. Okay. Anything else to add?
No, that should do it.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, Jeff, my pleasure. Have a good weekend, everyone.
It is the weekend, isn't it? Okay, we'll be right back with Hour 3. Hold on.